ironic that we live in a generation that's very, very, very makbir on the halacha of Mishanichnas Adam Arba Mesimcha, Mitzad Echad. Mitzad Sheni, we live in perhaps the most depressed generation, unhappy, depressed generation. Therapists are making millions. Obviously we have something wrong, if that's the case. We have something, we're not understanding something. Something's not hitting us the right way. We're trying very hard and we're being very machmer, mishanichnas adar. We're definitely being more machmer by mishanichnas adar ma'arba mesimcha than we are by mishanichnas av mema'at mesimcha. Right? Nobody goes home from camp when Chodesh Av comes. We don't stop night activities at camp when Av comes. A little bit, a few halachas, whatever it says, you know, we have to stick to. But we try to let it not disturb our summer too much. Mishanichnas adar ma'arba mesimcha, that we get very involved in, it's very important to us. Dafkan Rosh Chodesh Adar, the Rosh Chodesh is the Rosh, it's the head, the Shayrish. It's the Shayrish of the whole month. It's the time to be Kaveh, a person's thoughts and feelings and Avodah, so that they should affect the rest of the month. Many people confuse happiness with things. First of all, many people confuse happiness with fun. Fun and happiness are two different things. Fun has nothing to do with happiness. Happiness has nothing to do with fun. There are a lot of people that have tons of fun and they're not happy. There are a lot of people that are very, very happy and they never have fun. Happiness is not about dancing, it's not about balloons, it's not about parties, it's not about all the trappings of what we call happy occasions or happy times. It's not what happiness is. Happiness is a very, very pneumistic, inner, not emotion, but state of being. Happiness is a state of being, it's not an emotion. It could also be an emotion, in the sense that it's an emotion. Let me give you a mashal. Let me go off the topic for a minute to give you a mashal. Many years ago, a bunch of years ago, about a half a dozen years ago, I spoke to a mashgiach who explained to me that there's more to Avodas Hashem than just our emotions. Sometimes we feel the brand, sometimes we don't feel the brand. Aliyahs and Yeridahs. At that point in time, I thought that Avodas Hashem is about inspiring our emotions, firing up our emotions to Avodas Hashem. And he told me something then. He told me that it's not about emotions, but something that he called Hakara. And it was difficult, and he saw that it was difficult. He said it to me anyway, and he told me, Zevi, he told me to take some time to digest it. And over time, over the next few months, I thought about it. I played around with it in my mind a little bit. I tried to find Mishalom in my life to what he was saying. And I came up with the following understanding of what he was trying to teach me about Avodas Hashem, that I think is a very, very true thing, and a very, very wichtige thing for a person to know, especially a bacher. Bachrim are well known for the ups and downs, the roller coaster ride in Avodas Hashem, and this helps to smooth the ride a little bit. So I'm going to use my terminology, the terminology that I made up at the time to try to explain it to myself, and that's what I'll use to explain it to you. A person sometimes can be overwhelmed. A person, let's say he comes home from work at night, and there's a beautiful card waiting for him on the table from his children, a birthday card. His children got together and they bought him a beautiful present, a card, and some balloons. At that point, what does he feel towards his children? He feels tremendous love to his children. His children did something very nice, and it makes him feel very much loved to them. Sometimes a person can come home from work at night and he can find that the house is wrecked, the kids are screaming, his favorite food or whatever it was used up, whatever it is that he likes in the house, his chair that he likes to relax in after work, his cookie crumbs all over it, you know, and he just has no yeshiva das and he's very upset with his children. At that point, does he feel love to his children? So if you would ask him, what do you feel right now to your children? He would say anger. He would say frustration. He would say unhappy. Would anyone think, except, I'm not talking about in this dysfunctional Medina where people do crazy things to their children. I'm talking about amongst the realm of human beings that are the way average human beings should be. If you ask him, do you love your children? He'll say yes, but that's not the point right now. Yeah, of course he loves his children, but that's not the point. So one second, right now he's feeling anger to his children. How could he feel love at the same time? Same thing is true with the husband and wife. Right now he's feeling anger to his children. How could he? Is he feeling the emotion of love right now? He's not. Does he love his children? Yes, he does. How do we understand? How are we magdir that? How are we magdir that? A masmid, a big masmid, and many of those amongst us have had this feeling. We love our life as B'nai Torah. We love it. We love it. Sometimes we get into a sugya, and it's mamash mechavim to taisus is kasha, then we mechavim to the marsha on the taisus, and then we find it's machlekes achrayna, and it's mamash geshmak. But sometimes we don't really want to come to the Beis Medrash, and it's painful, and we open the Gemara, and it's hard to learn, and we're constantly getting distracted and thinking about other things, and it's just very, very, very hard to learn, and it's frustrating, and the tension mounts, and it's frustrating to sit and learn. At that moment, what do you feel like towards learning? Frustration. Do you love to learn? Yes. Some people don't have that, but some people do. Yes, I love to learn, and right now I'm frustrated with my learning. That's a stira. That's a stira. And I think that many, many people in the world at large don't understand the answer to this question, and it becomes a very confusing thing. The answer is, and you all know the answer, I'm just going to put it into words. You all can feel the answer, I just want to put it into words. That the answer is that there's two hagdoris, there's two ways of defining emotions. There are what I'll call emotions, and then there are what I'll call super emotions. Just for the sake of the hagdorah. An emotion is like this mashgiach told me, a gewaldige mashal. An emotion is like when you put your wallet in your pocket. For the first few minutes you feel it, and after a while you don't feel it anymore. You don't feel it. It becomes, you know, try to take your watch and switch hands, switch to the other hand. Right now you're wearing a watch, you don't feel it. You don't feel it on you, you're not making some waves to it. Put it on the other hand, try it. Put it on the other hand for 20 minutes. You won't stop feeling your watch because it's a new feeling that you don't usually have, something on the other wrist. But after a while, if you leave it on for a week or two, it would cease to have any feeling. It would just be the way, you wouldn't consciously feel your watch. Someone who wears glasses, I don't wear glasses, but someone who wears glasses, you could probably remember, surely you remember when you put on glasses the first time? I'm sure that first few days, you consciously felt the glasses on you. But right now, until I brought it up, you probably weren't being mason late to the fact that you're wearing glasses. It's just something it's on you, it's part of you, just like you're wearing a head, you're wearing glasses. That's a muscle to emotion. Regular emotion, when there's something, you know, stoking up the coals, you feel it. When there isn't, you don't feel it. It's not a deep thing. It's a fickle thing. It comes and goes. It never stays constant. And this is a big mistake that people make in learning Musar. People think that learning Musar is about getting emotional. It's not. It doesn't really help often. Often we could hear a shmooze that makes us emotionally excited or emotionally a Yirei Shamayim or emotionally inspired to do something right. And then when it comes to action, we don't really do it because emotions are fickle things. It's the icing on the cake. It's not the cake itself. It's not where the Avodas Hashem is at. Anybody who trusts his Avodas Hashem to his emotion is trusting it to a very weak partner. Emotions are not to be trusted. On the other hand, there's something called super emotions. Those are deeper emotions. Those are deeper, more penetrating emotions. That's what this Mashgiach meant when he told me Hakara. It's emotions that are not just the way I feel now, but they're a state of being. They're my whole relationship with this thing. For example, my relationship with my children. I love my children. Even on the coding, it could be that now I'm upset, and now I'm excited, and now I'm happy, and now I'm frustrated. That's all the icing on the cake. That's all the emotions. But the super emotion is constant, steady, and unchanging. I love my children. Even when I'm angry at them, I love them. Even when I'm frustrated with them, I love them. Even when I don't know what to do with them, or I feel like I haven't succeeded with them, I love them. I love my children. That's a constant. That type of emotion, it's also an emotion, but it's a deeper emotion. It's a state of being. It's part of my identity. It's who I am. Someone who takes pride in his Yiddishkeit and on a level of super emotion, so even when he has a nefilo, or even when he's having a hard time, or even when he's had a lot of disappointments, or even when there are frustrations along the path, but still, he's gonna, at that time, he's gonna not waver in his, I love being a Ben Torah. I love being an Oved Hashem. What do you mean you love being an Oved Hashem? It's so hard for you. Okay, now it's hard. Just like now my children are being frustrating. But as in the super emotion, in the depth of it, in the reality of how I feel, in my state of being and who I am, I love serving Hashem. People can have this in their relationship with Averis also. I hate Averis. I hate Fritzes. I hate these things. You hate it? Are you a Nichshel 10 times? Okay, I was Nichshel, but it doesn't change the... It's the other way around. It still doesn't change the deep down, deep-rooted... It's not my state of being. The emotions, powerful emotions on the surface, were able to sway me, but that's not where. It's not my state of being. Like the Gemara that we're learning about the Amoraim, that the Satan was able to be Moira their Yetzirahs. It's not that they became entrapped in the Yetzirah in their super emotions. It's that the emotions became very overpowering, and as soon as the emotions stopped, they right away got back to themselves in an instant. That's because the super emotions are solid.
Can you use the normal emotions to enhance super emotion?
Yeah, okay, there's a place for them. Let me... So one of the reasons why we don't have simcha is because we don't have a good feeling about our shavius, about our value in this world. Feel good about ourselves. We don't feel happy with our accomplishments. We've fallen. We've been nichshel in things. We haven't accomplished maybe what we consider to be our potential. We feel we've been through a lot. We just don't feel happy about ourselves. Simcha v'Adar, whatever the reason, it's not so easy to find Makaris or the Simcha v'Adar, what it is. I think there's a Rashi about it, but not so easy to find Makaris. But whatever it is, it has something to do with the Yantav of Purim that's in Adar. The Yantav of Purim is an interesting Yantav in that it's not like this week, you know, is discussed in Yeshiva and in Sfarim very, very much. It's not like Hanukkah that the Goyim wanted to destroy our Torah. Rather, Haman wanted to destroy the fact that we were Yidden. He wanted to destroy Yidden. There was no difference in someone who was Shomer Shabbos and not Shomer Shabbos. There was no difference in someone who was a Lamdin and wasn't a Lamdin, someone who wasn't a high Madrega, someone who was able to fight his Yetzer and someone who wasn't. It was irrelevant. Haman wanted to kill it. And Haman is a Gevaldiger Rebbe. Haman teaches us a Gevaldiger lesson. Because Haman knew, Haman didn't want to kill for no reason. Haman wanted to kill Yidden because there's a value to Yidden. Because there's an accomplishment in Yidden being there. And if Haman's decision to kill even worthless Yidden is a raya that there's no such a thing as a worthless Yidden. Haman wanted to kill a Yid who's a Machal Shabbos, who's on the lowest Madrega, so there's no hope for him, quote unquote. That's a raya that's not true, that the existence of every Yid is a Gevaldige Tachlis. He's a great Rebbe, Haman. Haman taught us a Gevaldige Zach. And this coincides, the Chanukah and Purim may perhaps coincide with these two simchas. The simcha of Chanukah is a simcha of Shal Mitzvah, a simcha of Steiging, a simcha of Torah. A simcha of Purim is a simcha of I am a Yid. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Shaloi Osani Goy. I'm a Yid. And I'm alive. And I don't necessarily understand, and I don't necessarily understand why it's true or how it's true in the world, but I know, because we've been taught, that the existence of every single year, good, bad, accomplishing, not accomplishing, realizing his potential, not realizing his potential, is of an enormous value to the world and to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has to every year an infinite amount of love. an infinite amount of love. Ava she'eino tluya b'davar. An Ava that's not dependent on the Yid doing well, not dependent on the Yid being matzliach, not dependent on the Yid steiging, irrelevant of all those things. Even the Yid that fell, the Yid that went off, the Yid that's not being shemir Torah mitzvahs, chalila. There's an infinite amount of Ava being generated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to that Yid. I once heard, I've said this over a bunch of times, a beautiful shot in one of the Hallelujahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals broken hearts. And he puts dressings on their tzar. He puts bandages on their tzar. He's merapi their tzar. Then David HaMelech just switches gears and he goes, Moina mispo lakechavim. He counts. He knows the number for the. He has a count of the stars. Are the stars nishbarei lev? What's going on over here? It's not a. David HaMelech wasn't a poet, just writing like irrelevant, like a collage of irrelevant thoughts. It's not what Tehillim is about. There's a Mahalach HaMachshava through Tehillim. Moina mispa lakechavim lechulam shema zikr. He gives each one a name. Gadol Adoneinu, our master is great. V'rav koyach, and he has tremendous koyach. L'svunosei, to his intelligence, to his tvuna. Ein mispa, there's no count. It's not understandable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's das is not understandable. It's not graspable. And then David switches back. Ba'oidei danovim Hashem. Hashem gives encouragement to low people. Mashpil Rishoyim Adayoret, and he lowers Rishoyim down to the ground. What's the Hemshech over here? I once heard that the pshat is that the person looks up in the sky. If ever anybody ever had the experience of going in the country, walking into a very, very, very dark place, looking up at the sky, you get some kind of a glimpse, some type of hasag of how many stars there are in Shemayim. There's an infinite number of stars, unbelievable. And this is just the little bit that we're able to see, well beyond our vision. There's still stars, and the Hubble telescope, which was able to see further than any telescope that was ever invented, still couldn't see till the end, where the stars end. Endless stars, and there are stars out there, stars bigger than our sun. You know how much energy that is? Tremendous stars, packed with energy, that we don't ever see their light. They're doing nothing up there. Millions of them. Millions of huge stars packed with energy, burning hot. Tremendous light generating, and we don't see them at all. Nobody is nana from them. Why did Hashem create them? What's the purpose of creating not one, not two, not 100, not 1,000, but millions upon millions of stars that nobody will ever see? And if we see it, it's a white dot in the sky. You'll never be able to read something by the light of a star. What was the purpose of it? It's a gewaldige kasha on the Bria. It's a gewaldige kasha. And the answer is we don't know. But we do know that there's a reason. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. We know that there's some type of function for that star. There's some type of reason in the Bria where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this massive nivra called a star. HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals broken hearts, and he dresses their wounds. He's talking about people who say, Me ani, me chayai, what am I? What's my life? What am I worth? What's my impact? I'm just a failure. I haven't accomplished anything. I'm not leaving over any good things in the world. I just messed myself up. And we remind that person, Moina mispor lakashvav, Hashem is an exact count of all the stars. Lechulam shemoy zikra, each one has a name. You know what it means that each one has a name? That means that each one has a specific tafkid. That means that up there somewhere, is a star that we just think of as an anonymous star that we don't even know about. and it's beyond the reaches of the Hubble telescope. And it's beyond the reaches of a human yad to even be magia to even see that star. And it's a tremendous star. And it's to us, it's a completely useless part of the Bria. And it has a name. It has a name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a name for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a tachlis for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a goal for it. Gadol Adonenu v'Rav Koyach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incredible. V'Tzvunasoy Ein Misbar. There's no end to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tzvun. It's beyond our grasp. The tachlis of such a star. Ma'oidei danovim Hashem. Hashem gives encouragement to lowly people. We're anovim. We live in a generation that's so far than even than one generation ago. We read books. There are books that are published today about worlds that were. Morty was just reading about Kelm. Kelm existed such a short time ago, and it's how many madrigas higher than anything we could ever hope to achieve. We're anovim. We're small people. We have issues. Many people, if not most people, have issues that they themselves don't understand. There's forces going on inside of us that many of us don't understand. There's aliyahs and yuridahs. We grapple with things. We try to accomplish things. We're challenged with different things that come up in life. And we feel infinitely small, tiny. So when we reach a Rish Chodesh Adar, and it says in Rinder Rish Chodesh Adar, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Simcha, what's the Simcha? It's not the Simcha of, boy, have I accomplished a lot in my life. Very few people can say that. It's not the Simcha of, boy, I'm really holding, you know, Rameir Havim Esloitzitz Boivrei Aveira, you know, boy, I'm really keeping my Eitz Hara down. It's not that. No, I don't think we can say that either. It's not a simcha of I have my life figured out, because very few of us do. It's the simcha of Moine Misper Lakoichovim L'shchulam Shemai Zikra. If I exist as a yid in this world, that means that there's a tremendous tachlis to my existence. Just the fact that I exist. And it means that there's a powerful, powerful, powerful Ava that Hashem has. More powerful than a human being could think. Even when I make mistakes, even when I fall, even when I do things, even when no other human being would be meichel me for what I did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves me. We are the son that could never get thrown out of our father's house. Never. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has infinite rachmanis, infinite ava, and infinite interest in us. That's a foundation of simcha. It's not dependent on aliyahs, it's not dependent on yuridahs, it's not dependent on shteig. Rabbi Yisrael, I hope that we shteig a lot this Chodesh Adar. But even if we don't, for some whatever reason, different nesiyonos present themselves, even if we don't, we can still shteig in Mishanichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. And I don't mean that we'll attach a balloon to every chair, and I don't mean that we'll, whatever else we might think of doing, I don't mean that. Mishanichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, we could spend time thinking about it, and it's the only way to think about it some more, to go out there and look at the stars, to use the Kayach HaTzir, to use the Hispilos, to think about it again, to review what we said again and again and again, to maybe be Koveya times to think about it, just to feel the joy of having been chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a Jew and to be alive. The Bria is Sameach. We read the Shabbos davening. The Bria is Sameach because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. And because it has a tachlis. We also, we don't have, even if we can't have the Simcha of the Chafetz Chaim, but we could have the Simcha of an orange tree. The Bria is B'Simcha because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it and it has a tachlis. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us and we have a tachlis. And we don't know what the end of the story is, and we don't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us after Dairis that are so much higher than us and so much better than us. We don't understand, and we don't understand. There's many, many things in this world that we don't understand. But if we're here, if we have a head on our shoulders, if we're Avdei Hashem, if we're Yidden, then we have a channel, we have the ability to open up wellsprings of simcha. That's real simcha. It's not simcha that I'm dancing and jumping. It's a, like Morty mentioned before, it's a satisfying simcha. It's a menuchadika simcha. it's a yesod, it's a foundation for me. It's a foundation for me that afilu boim kol ruchos shebe'olam, whatever the winds of life will come and blow, they're not going to blow me down because I'm rooted to this deep, 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 deep simcha, because I know that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an infinite interest in me, no matter what I do with my life, and no matter what happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinitely interested in me, and loving me, and being sameach with me, and being mashpia upon me. And I don't have to understand how or why. And that's such a motivating thing. I don't know what was yesterday. I have charata about yesterday, and I'm skeptical about tomorrow. But today I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me today, and I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, and maybe I'm not interested in thinking about yesterday, but for today I'm just going to be happy that Rebbeinu Shlom loves me today. So I don't think we're up to being Mekayim Mishanichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. We have to be Mekayim Mishanichnas Adar Maschilim B'Simcha.